This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. More than 185 species of foreign fish, algae, plants, insects, and viruses have been brought into the Great Lakes, and many of them are invasive species damaging the Great Lakes. About a third of the invasive species in the lakes brought there in the ballast water of ocean-going ships. They picked up the ballast water in a foreign port and sucked up aquatic life with it. For decades, that ballast water and the things that lived in it were simply pumped into the Great Lakes ports as the ships adjusted to loading and unloading cargo. Think zebra mussels, quagga mussels, round gobies, phragmites, and other things that have damaged the lakes and wetlands. In 2005, Michigan passed a law requiring those ocean-going ships to obtain a state permit before docking in Michigan's ports. That permit certified the ships would either not discharge ballast water or that the ship would have ballast water treatment to kill off those foreign critters. Michigan felt the federal government was not doing enough to stop invasive species in the Great Lakes. It took a while, but there are now stricter federal regulations on ballast water, and some Michigan legislators want to get rid of that state law and just follow the U.S. Coast Guard's regulations. Joining me to discuss that are our Friday commentators, Vicki Barnett, a former mayor of Farmington Hills and a former Democratic legislator, and Ken Sikkema, a senior policy fellow with Public Sector Consultants and the former Republican majority leader in the state Senate. He joins us by Skype. So, Vicki, this sort of bill has been sponsored or co-sponsored by Representative Gary Glenn repeatedly. He argues that this Michigan ballast water restriction is blocking development of Bay City as a deep water port. How necessary is this Michigan law?
Well, the law passed out of the House yesterday, and it passed with a major amendment put on by Representative Andy Shore. And that amendment still holds to higher standards should the federal standards or the Coast Guard standards be diminished. The idea when we originally passed the law in 2005 was we were assuming, wrongly so apparently, that other Great Lakes states would jump on board and also require treatment facilities on board ships to treat ballast water. That didn't happen. In fact, all of the other states to which we are a party of the Great Lakes Compact have decided to do this, what they call harmonization with the EPA and with the Coast Guard standards. So Michigan is out there with higher standards, and yet the lower standards are still in effect for most of the other states and the two provinces that feed into the Great Lakes, which makes Michigan's law basically untenable, because even if they come in and follow the other laws, that ballast water is not going to have treatment on board ships. So there was a logical reason for Michigan to join the harmonized states.
Ken, international cargo ships make up a fraction of the cargo ship traffic on the lakes. It's been argued that the economic benefit of those particular ships falls far short of the economic damage that's been done by invasive species they brought to the Great Lakes. So how much sense does it make to drop the Michigan law to help Bay City develop a deep water port and just conform with the U.S. Coast Guard and EPA regulations?
Lester, I think this has become a race to the bottom. You know, Michigan actually, about 17 years ago, this debate began in earnest. As you mentioned, Michigan passed its stricter law in 2005, and at that time, Michigan was leading the charge to protect the Great Lakes from invasive species, and now we're in retreat. This has become, like I said, a race to the bottom where the floor becomes the ceiling, meaning that because you have so many jurisdictions, federal, Canadian, many states, whoever has the lowest standard kind of sets the ceiling. And that's what I see happening. And I think it's unfortunate because Michigan has more to lose than any other of the Great Lakes states. We have more Great Lakes shoreline. We're more dependent economically and recreationally than other states have. But where at one point we were leading the charge to deal with this issue, we're now in retreat.
So what's changed? I mean, this is just 12 years ago that we passed this law. Have attitudes about having stronger state environmental protections for the lakes shifted?
I think it's a regulation and a change in the mindset of those that are in governing positions and are in the majority in most of the states. And I don't really want to say that this is a Republican versus Democratic issue, because it's really not. We saw bipartisan support for this bill, and we saw Republicans and Democrats both voting against the bill yesterday. Unfortunately, it got enough votes to pass. Michigan was the leader. We were expecting the Coast Guard to require ballast water treatment facilities on ships back in 2008. That didn't happen, and it's been a slow retreat since then. And unfortunately, Michigan can't protect the Great Lakes alone. She needs her partners in the other Great Lakes states and the two Canadian provinces. So I agree with Ken. It is a very unfortunate issue. And had they all come aboard, no pun intended, we could have protected the Great Lakes with a much stronger law that would have been in effect for all of the Great Lake ports. What's happened, though, is that our agriculture growers have to ship their products much further because they can't load onto ships in Michigan. So it's hurting our agricultural development, and it's hurting the development of our port. And it's not just for the Bay City port. It's also for the Detroit port. And I want to point out that we've authorized the building of the Gordie Howe Bridge, International Bridge, which is essential in bringing in product from Europe through the real deep port in Halifax, and then bringing all of that material down into the gateway to the heartland of the United States, which is right through Michigan and its ports. I'm hoping that we have not given up on ballast water treatment inside of ships. The technology exists and it should be adopted, but this is where we are.
Hey, Yishu, before I let you go, the Michigan House turned down an auto insurance reform plan that was backed by Speaker Tom Leonard and Detroit Mayor Mike Duggan. Thoughts on that, Ken?
Well, it's deja vu all over again. I mean, 30 years ago when I got elected to the House and I was on the insurance committee, this was a hot issue back then. And in spite of every kind of run at it to change Michigan's no-fault law, where we have unlimited medical benefits, the only state in the country, it always crashes and burns on the ramifications, potentially, of making changes.
I tell you, guys are full of puns today. On board, crashes and burn. Vicki, what are your thoughts about this turning down the auto insurance reform
bill? I was glad to see it go down yesterday. We have probably the best case scenario for protecting families and people who are catastrophically injured in car crashes. And I am so grateful every time I write that check that should anything happen to me or my family, that we are protected. At one point when I was in the legislature, I tried to see how much it would cost if we had the PIP portion, the personal injury protection portion that is added to everybody's bill that everybody's talking about is blowing up insurance rates. It's about $165. So that's not the largest contributor to high insurance rates in Michigan. I wanted to see if we could have it paid for at the pump. In other words, raise the gas tax to cover the PIP portion of insurance. It would have been about 7 cents a gallon, and it would provide guaranteed coverage for everybody in the state of Michigan. And the beauty of it, had it been approved or encouraged, would have been those people who drive more and are putting themselves more at risk would be paying more through the pump for the insurance.
The problem I see with that, though, is PIP has expanded so much, you'd have to keep raising the gas tax to keep up with it. It seems like those medical costs.
Really hasn't. And that's the interesting thing. And if we had every person who drives insured, and that's the real problem with the insurance debate, we have so many uninsured drivers because they can't afford insurance, then they would also be paying at the pump when they get gas, so they would be insured, and they would be driving down the overall cost for every individual.
Vicki Barnett is a former Democratic legislator, and Ken Sikkema is a former Republican legislator. Hey, thanks, and have a great weekend.
You too.
Thanks, Lester.